Isaiah chapter 52, and I want to read just one verse here, verse 7. And I particularly want just to dwell for a few minutes with you on those last statements there in this verse. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. I had a pastor friend of mine I was talking with the other day, and he said his young daughter came up to him and said, Dad, how do we know that we're serving the right God? How do we know that we're right concerning God? And he said, Sweetheart, one of the best ways I can tell you that we know we're right, we serve and we worship the God of the Bible. There is but one God, and we find him in the Bible. And this is that God that we find in the Bible. This is Zion's God, the God that reigns. Say unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Zion, the church, the body of Christ, believers in Jesus Christ. Poor Zion, she has 1,001 fears. And fear has torment. And it's the Lord's purpose and its good pleasure that Zion be dispelled of her fears. Because the scripture says that fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. He's not mature in love. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. The only fear that the believer should fear is God himself. Let us be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Yet sometimes Zion, blesses her heart, she fears. She has all these fears. But you know, not a single fear that Zion has is a just fear. She has no cause to fear. I sometimes wonder, and I bet you do too, if other people grapple with all the fears that I grapple with. 1,001 fears. But they're all unjust, and they're really sinful. A fear that's contrary to the fear of God is a sinful fear. Zion has no cause to fear. Look here with me some scriptures. I want you to take your Bibles with me. Look here with me in Isaiah. We'll stay in Isaiah just for a minute. But take your Bibles right quickly and turn to chapter 35. Look here in chapter 35. God has given Zion, his church, precious promises to dispel her fears. And he's filled this book with them. And he's given her these promises. He's given us these promises to dispel our fears that we have. And look here in Isaiah, the 35th chapter, and look in verse 3 and verse 4 and 5. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. You know what this tells us? This tells us that there's some of God's children who by nature, by their very nature, have a fearful heart. It's almost like they can't hardly help it. It's just their nature to fear. And yet they're children of God who are instructed to fear not. And you've seen them, and I've seen them, and sometimes I've been one of them. Every time fear came, the first thing they did, or trouble come, when trouble comes, when they got themselves in the circumstances, the first thing they did was fear. First thing they know to do is fear and get so anxious. So the Lord writes to them here, and he says this, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God will come with a reward, a recompense, and he shall come and he shall save you. Now, this year is to dispel our fears, Zion's fears, when she's in trouble. No matter what trouble it's in, no matter what circumstances, when she fears, the Lord says, fear not, be strong. The Lord will come and he will save you. Now, I used to have an old man, used to know him years and years ago. And he always had this saying, and he always told it to God's people. He always had this saying, and it was so common with that dear old man. He said, the Lord may not come when you want him to, but he'll always be right on time. And that's comforting, ain't it? He'll always be right on time. He's never late. Say unto Zion, fear not, for the Lord your God will come and save you. And how many days in our life since the Lord has regenerated us, we needed to be saved. We're in a situation or circumstances where we can't save ourselves. We need deliverance. And here the Lord says, don't fear. You poor weak hearts, I will come and will save you. Now some of us have been on the way for a while, and we've experienced that, haven't we? We know what it means to wait on the Lord. And instead of fearing, we're like what Brother Larry just read to us. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, because he will show up and he will save us. And look here, what else? Look here at this promise. Fear not. The Lord thy God will come and save you. Look in chapter 41. And look here in verse 10. I don't know how all of these promises apply, but I imagine if we study them closely, we'd probably find places in our life where these promises would apply to us. In chapter 41 and verse 10, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. All they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, for I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. That's a precious promise. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to uphold you with the right hand of my strength. Fear not. Look here what he said in chapter 43, and look in verses 1 through 5. Here's a promise. Fear not. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee. Chapter 43, verse 1, O Jacob. He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. That's a precious promise. And he gave it because Zion has a tendency to fear. And look here in chapter 54. Look at this. chapter 54. And look in verse 4 and 5. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, confused, or frustrated, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt remember the approach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Look down in verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, thou shalt not fear, and from terror it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy, but no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt utterly condemn. This is an heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. The way he seems to be saying here is, Zion, don't fear anything but me. When they say a confederacy, and when they say let's join together in a confederacy, the Lord said don't join with them and don't fear their fear. But sanctify the Lord in your heart and let him be your fear. And brothers and sisters, when we fear God and when we walk in the fear of the Lord all the day long, nothing else is to be feared. Nothing else is to be feared. Fear not, O Zion. Fear not. But you know something? All these promises, and we could have found so many. Isaiah, this book is just full of them. But what comfort could all these promises that I've read to you, what comfort could they give us? And what good would they be to us if our God, who did not make these promises, if he did not reign, as he said, he gives all of these promises. And then he comes here to verse 7 of chapter 52. And he instructs his preachers to announce this to Zion, to the church. And here's what it is. Thy God reigneth. A promise is not worth the ink that it takes to write if he that made it is not able to bring it to pass and fulfill. Webster's and Vines and some others gives this definition of reigneth, to reign. Thy God reigneth. It means to rule, to control, to purpose, to determine, to dispose, to discriminate, to prevail, to gain the victory, to succeed. Thy God reigneth. Fear not. Say unto Zion, thy God has succeeded. Thy God reigns. Thy God gets the victory. Now here's something very important, and I think the Holy Spirit wrote this like this for us. You often talk to people. I had a dear friend of mine. He was a pastor friend of mine years ago. He's dead now. And I talked to him about these scriptures like this, God reigning. And I encouraged him to preach from these scriptures, but he never would. And he said one night he was hesitant to preach some of these scriptures because he didn't understand them. Well, I had my suspicions concerning the dear man that it wasn't so much a lack of understanding as it was believing in himself. Some people say we would preach the God that's in this scripture if we understood it, if we knew all the ins and outs and the workings of it all. But we don't understand about how God reigns. How are we to explain all these things? Well, you notice the Holy Spirit didn't say here. When you come to the absolute knowledge of all of it, then you preach it. He didn't say that at all, did he? This is a good lesson for me as a preacher, and for you folks as teachers and Jehovah Witnesses. Here's what you're supposed to say. Just say it. Just say it. Say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And sometimes that's another thing. Sometimes the dear children of God are in these fears that they can't shake off, and in awful circumstances. They don't know what to do. And all you have to do is say to them, thy God reigneth. You don't have to explain it. You can't explain it. How do you explain to Joseph that he was going to be governor over Egypt when he was sitting down in prison with his feet swollen in the stocks? He didn't understand it. We couldn't have understood it. All somebody needed to do was to go down there and say to Joseph, God reigns. God reigns. And you know what he would have said? Oh, dear brother, thank you for reminding me of that. I forgot that. You have been down here crying and hurting in these stocks. I forgot. God made me these promises when I was younger. And now I thought for sure everything's working against me. But here you reminded me. The same God who made those promises, He reigns. Just say it. Just say it. And say it to Zion, because Zion needs to hear it. Zion needs to hear it. She has all these fears that needs to be dispelled. And she has these promises she needs to lay hold of by faith. And just say to Zion, thy God reigns. He rules. But not just to Zion. Look over here in Psalms 96. Here's somebody else we're to say this to. God reigns. And everything that entails. Look in Psalms 96. God reigns. He rules. He controls. He determines. He purposes. He prevails. He gets the victory. He succeeds. God reigns. Not just to Zion, but look here. Begin here in verse 1 of Psalms 96. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Just give to Him the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. And say among the heathen, that the Lord reigneth. Tell the church that, because she needs to hear it. But tell the heathen that too. Tell everybody. Tell the nation. Our God reigneth. Lost men need to hear that, don't they? They need to hear that. I tell you, if they ever come to the place where they're overwhelmed with their sins, a sense of their sin against God and their perishing state, they need to know there's a God who reigns in salvation. A God is able to deliver them. I tell you, this is the only hope you and I have of this poor, perishing world. If God doesn't reign, then you and I have no hope for this world. If He doesn't reign in this world, then you know who does reign. I tell you, ain't it awful to think that God suffers sin to reign? Somebody's got to be reigning, ain't they? And I tell you, if God lets sin reign, if God suffers sin to reign, then that brings death. The wages of sin is death. And death, when it's finished, then hell comes. This world should be thankful that God reigns. And I tell you, the devils that's been turned loose in this world today seem like it's full of devils. And devils hate humanity. And they'd destroy it if they could. This world better thank God that He does reign. I do, don't you? That's the only hope we have for any sanity in this world. If God didn't reign over devils, if He didn't reign over creation, if He didn't reign over providence, can you imagine what an awful place this world would be to live in? It'd be unbearable. No peace of any kind. No sanity of any kind. Say among the heathens, Thy God reigneth. Zion's God reigneth. Now, how far-reaching is this reign? What does God reign over? Say unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Say to the heathen, Thy God reigneth. What does He reign over? Look at that. Look here, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Very familiar scripture. This is David's prayer. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is a good way for us to pray. Learn to pray like this. Like King David. Here's what he said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. How far reaching is God's reign? Say unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. What does He reign over? David tells us here, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be Thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and forever. Thy, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all. How far reaching is God's reign? It has no limit. He reigns over all. Say unto Zion, Thy God reigns over all. Listen to this verse of Scripture. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. The Lord setteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. Therefore, let them praise His great and terrible name, for He is holy. He reigns over all. This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget. Though the wrong seem awful strong, He's the ruler yet. He's the ruler yet. He reigns. This is my Father's world. The battle's not yet done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. How can we know that for sure? Because our God reigns. God is reigning. He reigns over all. Well, how detailed is His reign? How detailed is our God's reign? He reigns over all. We know He reigns in heaven. And we know He rules among the inhabitants of this earth. Daniel 4:25 tells us that. But how detailed is it? He reigns over the nations and He reigns among the nations. But how detailed is it? Well, I tell you what the Master said about our Father's reign. He said, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's pretty detailed. Eh? Maybe not with me. He's laughing at me. Maybe not with me. But it is with you. It is clerk and shame. That's detail, eh? And He says, not one hair of your head will perish, but at the will of your Father. Not one hair. That's pretty detail. Sparrow flying through the air? Sparrow ain't worth very much, is it? But God rules that sparrow. And it don't fall to the ground without His knowledge and His will and His decree. It's minute. That's how detailed it is. Every situation, everywhere you go, when you lay on your bed and sleep, when you rise and go to work and go into this world, God rules every last thing. Old Rolf Barnum used to say, I'd be afraid to go out in the front yard if one grain of sand was out of the control of my God. He rules it all. He rules it all. Say unto Zion, thy God ruleth. A couple of more scriptures and we'll close. Always two attitudes. When we stress this, always two attitudes. Look over in Revelation. Zion loves it. The children of God love it. They take great comfort in that. It dispels their fear. It makes them lay hold of these promises because they know their God that made them is able to fulfill those promises. Zion loves this. Look here at Revelation chapter 19. Here's something that's taking place in heaven. Look here in verse 1. Let's read just down through verse 7. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. They were saying, Hallelujah. Salvation, glory, and honor, power, power unto our Lord, the Lord our God. Now, we know what people's doing in heaven, don't we? We know what they're doing down here. But we know what they're doing up there. They're worshiping. They're worshiping the Lord their God. Glory and honor and power to the Lord our God. The true and righteous are His judgment. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and He hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it was the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reign, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. I've never had a day in my Christian life when I thought and believed that my God reigned, that made me sad. It always makes me glad, and it makes me give honor to Him. Our God reigned. Look back over here in chapter 11. There is another attitude. Those who don't know Him, don't love Him, don't believe Him, don't need Him. Here's the attitude they have. Look in Revelation chapter 11. Look in verse 16. And the 24 elders. Now here's the windup of everything. The 24 elders which sat before God on their thrones, on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come. Because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry. Different attitude, eh? Different attitude. Zion is glad. Oh, she saw her prophet. She saw her comfort in the truth that her God reigned. But here the world looked upon Him as a reigning God, and they gritted their teeth and said, We hate Him. We hate this God. I talked with a young fellow one time for quite some time. He's a dear friend of mine's son, teenager, rebellious. He went off to work down in Texas. He called me on the phone one night. He may have got me out of bed. He called me and he said, I just have to tell you this. I hate your God. I hate your God. And I think it surprised him when I said, I know you do. That's natural. But I said, the God whom I love and believe is a able to break you and save you. God reigns, and we're glad, aren't we? Our Father in heaven, oh, our reigning God, our sovereign Lord in heaven, even our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, our Redeemer, our Husband, our Savior, our faithful Creator, we stop this evening and steel our hearts before you. Forgive us for our awful sin of unbelief. Forgive us for not opening your word and taking it to heart. Forgive us where we feared circumstances, feared other things, and not walked in the fear of our God all the day long. Oh Lord, when we believe you, when we simply take you at your word, we find great rest. And when we remember that you're our God who reigns, our souls are so encouraged and happy, and we're glad. And we bless you for reigning. We're glad that you're God. We're just creatures, and we take our place before you. The world owes its stability. We all owe all unto you because you reign. And we bless you for it in Christ our Lord. Amen. Clarence, would you come and hand out the bread and wine?